Praise the Lord. If you believe the Lord is good, say amen. Amen. All right, we'll start our school of prayer today. I really don't have for now. But we'll be developing the format to take. But of course, the first thing and most important thing in everything that we're going to be talking about the concept of prayer, what the Bible says concerning prayer, concerning the life of the believer. Now, there are a few scriptures I want us to start with. First, let's begin from the book of Matthew chapter 18. Now, please, I want you to notice something from verse 1 of Matthew chapter 18. It said, at that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And then he called a child to himself and set before them. Now, what I want to bring out from there is the word them. That is, he's talking here to his disciples. The Bible says that his disciples came to him and said this was not a sermon on the mount and this was not a parable of the sower. Because when he will tell parables, he will tell to his to everybody. Alright? But this time around, he's speaking specifically to his disciples. And there's a world of difference between when he's describing parables and when he's speaking specific words. And why I'm saying so is that you have to get something in context. Here, he's talking to the disciples, who he said, blessed are they because of what their ears are hearing and what their eyes are seeing. When everybody gathered and said, look, you know, like I said last time, this man preaches very beautifully, such a beautiful sermon. Then they left. They didn't get anything. But some people came beside and said, look, master, all that one you were saying, we didn't make any sense. So explain to us the meaning of that parable of the sower. And they began to talk to his disciples. What I'm trying to emphasize is that when he's talking to his disciples, there's a difference. So he said to them, blessed are your ears. He said, look, you guys have bothered to step aside to get the deep meaning of what we are talking about. So what I want to read, he was speaking to disciples. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's what I want to emphasize. Now, so Matthew chapter 18, he was speaking to disciples in everything he was saying. And then later on in that chapter, please, let's read from verse 18 now. Now, I want to read from verse 19. He said, again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth about anything that they may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. Again, I say to you, he said, if two of you shall agree. The word I want to discuss today is the word agreement. The word what? Agreement. He said, if two of you agree on earth about anything. Now, he said this immediately after he said some things about management of the church, or the body of Christ. So he said, if two of you shall agree on earth about anything, the word is anything that they may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. For where two or three have gathered together in my name, or like the reference we explained, under the influence of the name of Jesus Christ, he said, there I am in their midst. Please note that, and quickly let's go to the book of 1 John, chapter 5. Where I'm reading is verse 14. Let me just read from verse 13, just to get it in context. It said, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, in order that you may know that you have eternal life. Now, verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, now notice it, if we ask anything, he said this anything will be in accordance with his will. And if we know that he hears us concerning anything that we may ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from him. Now please, I've read this two portions of the scripture to explain the word agreement. And there are two things I want to bring out here. Agreement amongst those who are praying. That's 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 was where I read. And then agreement amongst those, agreement between us and God. Now, what is the concept of prayer? There's one more scripture I want to just read before. It will be nothing new to us, all right? We've read this several times before. That from the book of Psalms. He said, the heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth he has given to the sons of men. 115 verse 16. From verse 16, it says, the heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth he has given to the sons of men. Now, let me just explain a few principles here, and then we'll be able to get into the flow of what we're about to start doing every day. Now, please, here, let me start from this verse 16 of Psalm 115. He said, the heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth he has given to the sons of men. Now, this is how God does things, and I want to get it very clear. You know, when God wants to administer, or let me put it like this, God delegates authority to people, all right? And what he did concerning the earth was to delegate the authority on the earth, all right, to people that he placed there. When he put Adam on the earth, he told Adam to name every animal that was on the earth. And the meaning of the word name, I'm not going to discuss that in details, is not just to give a name like, okay, call this a lion and call this an elephant, because the different names have evolved over the years. But it has also to do, because this was the first encounter these people were going to have with their master, that's Adam. Adam was, this is my way of understanding it, was going to confer upon them their functions in life, how they were going to relate with people, the importance that they were going to have. That's what it means when they say he should name them. The point I want to just bring out from there is this. Adam had the responsibility, or had the authority, that's my emphasis for today, the authority over the things that were happening on the earth. You get the point. And then, when God will speak, he said to the children of Israel, that because of you, the heavens withheld is due. That is, what the earth experiences is a result of what the people that are on the earth output onto the earth. One of the messages I want to teach on radio shortly, the title will make you laugh a bit. I'm going to call it the cause of global warming. climate change. Yes, I'm serious. It's going to be after the series on identity. I'm going to talk on the true cause of climate change. All this one they say these days, it makes me laugh. You know, I'm never impressed. You know, I thank God I've read a bit of science. And I can assure you, most of the people who shout global warming, global warming, global warming, they have no idea what it means. They don't know what it means. All they think, global warming, that there was a tsunami in Indonesia. Global warming, there was an earthquake here. Global warming, there was a storm here. Global warming, that's what comes to their mind. They say that it's because of our lifestyle, what we are emitting. You know, we are emitting coal and all of that. And I laugh. Believe me, I don't believe all of those things. All right? You can't say it outside. They give you a name. They call it the naysayers. You're one of the naysayers. That's your problem. As far as I'm concerned, the true cause of global warming is not the fire you burn in your backyard. I like one thing Farid Zakarias of Global Public Square said, that GPS on TNN. He said that if you have been managing, trying to adjust your life so as to, you know, become earth-friendly, he said, listen to me, you have been wasting your time. And that was like last week or the week before. And his reason was because that all the thing you are trying to do, talking to the mostly Americans and Europeans, trying to save the energy that's going out into the air, he said the Chinese people, they're not listening to you. They are building coal-fired plants every day, like one a month. It's what these Chinese people are building. So that all you Americans and Europeans, you have been wasting your time. All right, and I'm just one person that believes very strongly that God is not stupid. I believe he made adequate plan to absorb all the coal you can emit into the air. How many ants are we on the earth? You forget. And they tell you about they said there was Ice Age. Can you remember? I've told the story of Ice Age before. What warmed up the Ice Age? What? Who was there to warm up the Ice Age? Nobody. Yes, it's warmed up. Listen, there are cycles on the earth. Nobody has ever proved to me that this warming of the current of the climate right now has nothing to do with a natural cycle that is not within our control. I'm not saying it's not possible. I'm just saying that there's no proof yet. They have not examined it now. But let me not go into detail about that. What I want to emphasize is the fact that the earth will get hot and become uncomfortable if we continue to emit not coal, not carbon dioxide. It's a spiritual substance, wickedness. As we're emitting wickedness, that is what really warms up the earth. It's not carbon dioxide. Is the wickedness of the souls of men. Are you getting what I'm saying? That, look, what the earth experiences, all right? You know, we know what God, the general of Israel, he said, because of this, the earth vomited up the inhabitants. These people were doing the things that were wrong. Therefore, the earth vomited up the inhabitants of the earth. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is, it's what the people there do, okay, that affect what happens on the earth. That's the point I'm going to make. So, now, this is how God said. He said, the heavens are the heavens of the Lord. The earth he has given to the sons of men. And I said, there are three things that affect the things that happen on the earth. Three things we said. Then when we discussed this thing there some time ago. I said, number one is the purpose of God. Number two is the behavior, all right, the iniquities or the righteousness, all right, of the people on the earth. And number three is the prayers of the people that are on the earth. Those are the three things that affect the things that occur on this earth. One, the purpose of God. Number two, the behaviors of men. And then number three, the prayers of men. Those last two, as you can see, they depend on people. They don't depend on God. He said, but you said the purpose of God. Yes, the purpose of God is the way it works. God, when he has given his authority to people, what he does is to persuade them so that they will agree with him, so that he will be able to bring to pass the thing that he proposed. The only thing he has on his side is time. Did you hear what I said? What does he have on his side? Time. He's not in a hurry. If one generation will not do his will, he'll wait for the next. And if that next one won't do it, he'll wait for the one following. And he will continue to wait. That's what the Bible calls a long suffering. He will continue to wait until a generation will come that we agree and do that which God has proposed. Now, so that's one thing that God has on his side concerning his purpose. So when he has determined to do something, he will not change his mind, all right, ever. But he can change his mind in a particular generation. Do you understand? Like he said to Eli, Shebi, I swore that you and your house, your father's house will be stand before me as priest forever. He said, now, far be it from me. I've changed my mind. Now I have appointed another priest. That's the way he does it. Priesthood will not depart because of Eli. Do you get my point? Eli, all right, you guys want to misbehave? Fine, go ahead, misbehave, enjoy your misbehavior. But the priesthood will stay. It might depart from your family, but priesthood will not go away. You are getting what I'm going to explain. So I'm talking about the purpose of God. So the two other things which are more important we should focus on right now is the number one, the behaviors of men and the prayers of men. And we're talking mostly, because it's our school of prayer, about that issue of the prayer of men. And I want us to emphasize, to focus on that. Now, you know, I said that we read 2 points on the scriptures to start. That's where? The book of Matthew chapter 18 and then from 1 John chapter 4. Now, those are the two portions that we read to start this our discussion. And so I want to explain some things about it. Now, I said we're talking specifically about the word agreement. Now, this is what we mean when we talk about agreement. Now, there's something we read on Saturday that Jesus, that's we read from Matthew chapter 21 and also from Mark, I think 15, that he said, James and John came to him and said, come sit on my left, we want to sit on your left and on your right in your kingdom. And he said to them, you don't know what you're asking for. And now, please, let me say something. That's very important when we're talking about prayer. Now, it's not possible. Should I say that one first? No, please, I'll come back to this. Let me just explain something first, all right? Now, let me say this to us. I talked about the purpose of God, all right, the behaviors of men and the prayers of men. Now, I want to understand something. If God has a purpose on the earth, before it is manifested, the first thing he locates are people to agree with him. Yes, that's why I wanted to say that before I get back to this. Are you getting what I'm saying? What the first thing he locates is what? Somebody to agree with him. That's why when he wanted to save mankind, he started looking for one Abraham. All right? Now, we don't know how many people he talked to before the Abraham that we now know, all right, accepted to walk with him. Now, if you were here when we're doing our study in the book of Genesis, you will see that we discover while studying that the whole of the book of Genesis was written around one man, and that's Abraham. The story from Adam down to Abraham, the story was written from Adam so as to get down to Abraham. And from Abraham, the story was written so as to get down to the children of Israel. Do you understand the point? Now, Abraham was the central figure there, the most important person after the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, before the Lord Jesus, that was the most important person. The only person that displaced him in importance was the reason why Abraham was called, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you get what I'm saying? Now, why was Abraham important? Because God doesn't listen to this. I want to say categorically. That's how he made it. He can't do anything on the earth until somebody who resides on the earth agree with him. Do you get the point I'm making? No, he can't. He can't. And that's why, listen, I read this book. I don't know how many of you have read it. If you haven't read it, these are the things you read that encourages your faith and makes you realize that spiritual realm is very real. God Smuggler, Brother Andrew. Brother Andrew said once he went to one country. I don't know which of the countries now. But one of those Soviet republics, all right? Or at least one of the communist countries in the heart of Europe that time, or in the heart of communism. So when he got there, he met one old man and one old woman. And these people were living under communism. Everything had been taken away from them. All right? They didn't have land they could call their own. They didn't even have freedom to worship. And when they got to the village where these people lived, they discovered that everybody had run away. You know, like we go to America these days, you know? Everybody had disappeared to Western Europe if they could, all right? Find their way out. So after everything was said, he asked the old man and the old woman, so why didn't, because the village was virtually deserted. There are very few people left. So he said, why are you people still here? Why didn't you go like everybody else so that, you know, you can have freedom and everything? Is it because of your land? You know, that kind of thing. Like, okay, let's wait for our generation. He said, no. What were they waiting for? They said, if we leave, who will stay behind to pray? That's what they said. You know, I was in my office today and we're discussing. And we're a very funny country, the way we behave sometimes in Nigeria. All right? But I thank God for Nigeria. Nigeria is increasing and we are getting better. Anytime I drive on this portion of Abakaliki Road, I always feel like I'm abroad. I'm not joking about that. You see, between this junction and the other junction, all right, I always feel as if I'm not in Nigeria. The roads are clean. The fences are well painted. And they are not close to the road. Concrete sidewalks, well painted roads, a traffic light at the end of the road. I never feel like I'm in Nigeria. Look, and listen, we are bringing heaven down to the earth in this country also. I'm telling you the truth. We are doing it. Nigeria is, well, we have created goodness out of it. All this sound of kidnapping, shooting, and robbery is the tantrums of the devil as we are casting him out. If we go out, we'll send him to one wicked country. I don't know which country we send the devil to. There's always one place to send him to. Anyway, we'll send them to the center of Atlantic Ocean, so where ships don't pass. And any evil man can go and mine his own devil from there and carry it to his country. We don't mind. Now, this is what I'm making. Anyway, so when we were talking in the office today, and we were observing a lot of things, something came to my mind again. Believe me, if I was discussing with a friend of mine, something led to it, and I said, there are places in the U.S. you want to live there, you know? You don't want to live in New York. It's like Lagos. But they are nice, quiet, big cities. But you know what? Why didn't God move all his good children to those places? Because God determines, listen to this, to redeem every corner of his earth. I don't know whether I get the point. The earth belongs to him. Doesn't belong to anybody else. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? Therefore, you and I have a responsibility. Not to rush down somewhere where it's good, but to create good everywhere that God plants us. Do you get the point I'm making? Now, what I'm saying is very, very important. That's how God does it. So, those people, I believe that the prayers of people like that, those people, are those that crumbled communism. Yes, the Americans and the Nigerians or people in free countries were praying along with them. Maybe. Maybe they were praying. All right? Because these days, God forgive me what I'm about to say. I doubt the prayers of those Americans. I have my reasons. It's the prayers of people like that old man and that old woman that moved the devil out of their countries. I hope you are getting my point. So what God does is this simple. He plants them, his people, in strategic places on the earth, and then they cooperate with him, all right, until his will is done on the earth. And there's something you must bear in mind, all right? When we're talking about prayer, and that's what we're talking about, the major reason why God left prayer as a weapon for us, let me put it like this, the main weapon that God left for us, all right, to have his will done on the earth is prayer. I think you should write that down if you're the type that's writing. That's the major weapon. It's not scheming. It's not scheming. My wife and I have had discussions about, things lead to it. People will say that, the finest mosque, Christians don't build fine churches. I said, it will not preach the gospel. I don't know whether you get what I'm going to explain. It won't. God doesn't preach gospel from buildings. He preaches the gospel from the lives of people. Are you getting what I'm not explaining? So it's important. Listen. And let me tell you something here. There's nobody that will scheme more than the communists schemed. Where are they today? Their history. History. All right? Anybody scheming against the church is the one that will collapse. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you will perish out of the way. He says, sit at my right hand until I make all your enemies a footstool for your feet. That's the purpose of God. Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? All right? People can gather, like the Bible says in that Psalm 2, against the Lord and against the anointed. The Bible says that he that sits in the heavens shall laugh. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is all the plans that the enemies of God have, all right? They will come to, in fact, they have come to frustration already in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, the point I want you to understand here is that is the most potent weapon that God gave to the Christian is that ability to pray. That's it. You know the reason? Because actually, this is what happens. I've said this to you before, that when you get to well-developed countries like America, a typical house doesn't have burglar proof on the window. All right? Warren Buffett's house is not fenced. I don't think it's fenced. If it's the same house he's lived in for many years, I don't think it's fenced. It's on a normal street. Do you get what I'm saying? It's not like Nigeria. You know, I don't think an average child in Nigeria knows how to live in a house without fence. He will feel like he's not wearing clothes. He will feel naked. Now, why don't they do that? Well, why is it not necessary? It's going to be a bit difficult, all right, in America for you to operate in a house, say you're a thief, for 30 minutes. If you want to operate like that, make sure nobody knows you are in there. All right? Once somebody finds out, you know what will happen? He will call the police, and police will actually show up in the next 3 minutes. All right? They don't dispatch an officer from their office. There's somebody around that area. They just radio the guy. There's the distress call from this particular house. The one that ever interests me, that you can't, if you dial the police station, all right, you dial 199 or 911, which one do they use now? 911 is America. And then you change your mind and you drop the phone, the police will still come. No, I'm not joking about that. You know, you carry your phone from your house, not a cell phone now, a landline, and you dial 911. And then somebody says, hello, you know, that kind of, as they ask you, you change your mind and you drop the phone. I don't want to call police again. Maybe you're threatening your husband. If you move closer, I will call police. And you dial it. And then you say, okay, I was just joking. You drop the phone. 3 minutes later, somebody's going to knock at your door. Yeah, you know, because of course, as soon as you call, they know where the call is coming from. And the fact that you didn't complete the call means that you are really in distress. That the man who can talk still has mouth. The one who can't talk, things really don't work. The police, listen, if he knocks that door, nobody answers. He will break down the door. But he's not going to leave that place with a distress call coming from there that was not completed. Now, why am I telling this story? Is that the person, he's so strong that he thinks that when a thief comes, I can fight them off. That's why he didn't put burglar proof on his windows. No. It's just because he knows that in the event of trouble, I can call somebody. Do you understand what I'm going to explain? He knows he can call somebody. That's why if it's going to go away, all right, alarm everywhere. So that even though I'm not around, if you break my door, somebody will respond. Are you following my point? Therefore, the most potent weapon, maybe you leave an 18-year-old girl alone in the house. She's weighing about 49 kg, slim lady. She has never been to karate school. Don't worry, just stay alone in the house. She doesn't have any wahala against intruders. Once she hears noise, she will hide somewhere and call somebody. And in a few minutes, she's safe. Therefore, the most potent weapon she has is not the gun, it's not the cutlass, it's not military training. What is this thing? The call, the phone call. Therefore, that's the way it is with the Christian. We have a God that has cocked his gun. Now, are you getting what I'm saying? Yes, he has cocked his gun. He's just waiting for you to call. That call is called what? Prayer. My wife and I were watching something the other day on TV, Nat Geo Wild. Now, you know what they call a bear? A bear, you know that animal, the bear. The bear attacked a man. That bear weighs maybe about 350 kg. All right? Tall. And don't try to outrun a bear. Forget the size. It can run. Forget that size. So the bear attacked this guy. He had no defense against the bear. The bear beat off his shoulder. Now, that's a powerful animal. Nobody doesn't attack people. But that one, he attacked this guy and was really going to maul this guy to pieces. The guy had no defense against the bear. Now, this was the interesting part. He was telling the story. That means he survived. This was many years later. You still see the scars all over his body. He said, then suddenly I said, oh God, I don't want to die today. He said, just as quickly as the attack started, it stopped and the bear walked away. My wife is a witness. We watched it together. He said, that seems to do the magic. I just said, oh God, I don't want to die today. And that was it. The bear just looked, left him, turned and walked away. He didn't do anything. The bear didn't rush away like, whoo-hoo, trouble. The bear just left him, turned around and walked away. He said, an instant after he said, oh God, I don't want to die today. Do you understand my point? Let me say this to us before I go on. If you pray in faith, believe me, God answers prayers. And that's what I want to drum into our heads again in this series. Because the problem we have is that we don't actually pray. We scheme. And prayer is part of the scheme. That is, I have schemed that this man can help me. As I'm going, God, oh, please, let him be at home. Oh, God, oh, please, oh, let him be at home. That's not prayer. It's scheming. Please, I hope you are following the point I'm making. The man said, I mean, he was alone. You know, he said, when my heart is overwhelmed, he said, from the ends of the earth will I cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Now, when you talk about the ends of the earth, well, how far can the earth be? How far can that corner of the earth be than the fact that the 350 kg bear is upon you and tearing you to pieces? So it was from the ends of the earth that the man cried out. And God heard him and delivered him. Please, I hope you are following what I'm saying there. That is, so that's the most potent thing that we actually have. God is a mighty policeman. He's a one-person riot squad. Are you getting my point? He's greater than Rambo, multiplied by 10. He's Rambo and the whole of American National Guard put together into one. Do you understand? He knows his business. However, he seems to like to wait for a call. Did you hear what I said? He sits in his office, and next thing is that you call, and then in an instant, he appears. That's why your prayer is the most potent weapon that you have. Are you getting what I'm saying? So I was saying that, so you see, God therefore drops one person on the earth and he says to the person, all I want you to do is call upon me in the time of trouble. Do you understand that? All I want you to do is to execute my will on the earth. And how do you execute my will? Normally what God does is that he gives you simple things to do, all right? And then simple prayers to say. As you go on, there's a message I recommended some time ago. And I think I'll still see whether I can make it available for us. All right, those who've been interested. The Aggressive Prayer by Derek Prince. All right. Now, you see, it gives us, Derek Prince describes certain words there. I will repeat them maybe next time when we're talking about it. Now, God gives us certain words to pray. And then those words are actually, they are very potent spiritually. We'll see later about the principle of a persistent prayer. You know, when Jesus taught his disciples to pray, this interesting part. You know, he said that they came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray. And he said, pray like this. Now, what we have decided it means, or it meant, was that this is a pattern for prayer. Now, listen, it's a pattern. It was not a pattern. It can be used as a pattern. Do you understand my point? In it, you will see the concepts, all right, things that are inside prayer that we are supposed to say. However, when Jesus gave the disciples, it was not a pattern. It was a prayer. Teach us to pray. When you go to pray, repeat this. I don't know whether you get what I'm trying to say. You know what he said? When you pray, say, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. That he gave them specific things to say. And in their context, you say, Pastor Banker, are we supposed to pray like that now? Yes and no. Knowing that, don't ever forget that things are said in context. Like I said at the beginning, he was talking to the disciples. The things he gave them to say were specific things. It wasn't general to them. When he said, thy kingdom come, to them he had a meaning. He had a practical today meaning. Are you getting my point? For them, it was something like, as you are praying, you are declaring that power supply will be constant. They were not imagining it. When they said, thy kingdom come, they had something in mind when they were going to be saying that, thy kingdom come. Do you follow what I'm going to explain? That is because one of the problems I found out as I was studying over time is that when in Christianity, God introduced the gospel of the word of faith, the thing we began to learn in word of faith, we threw away a lot of things. I give an example. After meditating and praying and understanding and checking things over the years, I have discovered that when it's time to pray publicly, you know, like we pray together. Now, let us pray for our nation. Normally, we give a prayer point and then we all scatter. That's Pentecostal. I don't want to use the word that almost came out of my mouth. That's just Pentecostal. Okay, let me like the idiosyncrasy. That's better. That's just the way we like it. It's just not the right way. It's not exactly inferior to what people used to do. So now we're going to pray. That this is what we have in the country. Prayer, then everybody will scatter. Then you know the way we start pacing up and down. We work out the whole. When they say go and jog, you know go jog. But during prayer, you they work out 5 kilometers in that the prayer hall. It's a good thing. I think we should be praying more often. All these people that know they agree jog, go jog. So this prayer this night is going to be hot. Therefore, so brethren, you go move the seat back. Listen, I don't want to say this. The truth is that our prayers are not more potent than those of those who don't run up and down. Now, if the passion in your soul makes you race all over the place, fine. Have fun. Do you understand my point? But believe me, that's not really the pattern of praying together for something. You said, Pastor Bank, how are we supposed to do it? I'll tell it to you. We're not discussing that now. I just want to establish some things as we start. What we are supposed to do is to appoint one person who has made the best understanding maybe in that area. Preferably a leader, an elder. He will stand in front and he will speak. And as he will speak, all of us will be following him with amen. 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 And we'll continue to say amen as long as he's talking. That's why if you read in the book of Acts or even Old Testament, you will see that they said they all raised their voices to God and said, and you wonder that, how did they know? If I have seen Pentecostals try to interpret what they said. And what we used to say is that, and they were all saying, but this was what the Holy Spirit interpreted to God. You know, like I've heard that before. It's just because we thought they were Pentecostals of today. Listen, they were raised with the background of Judaism, and they knew how to do public prayer. So when it was time to pray, Peter would stand in front, and the church of maybe 2,000, 5,000, 10,000 people behind him will wait and allow him to pray, and everybody will echo, will chorus an amen, or give the amen intermittently. So what is being said is intelligible to everybody, and they can agree in their heart. And listen, if the body of Christ will gather together and truly agree, then indeed we will see the power of God manifest. We will remove a precedent if we so desire. Do you follow what I'm going to explain? No, as we go on, we are going to see we are going to do this. We are going to do prayer that maybe for the nation, for the state. I'm not going to give a prayer for everybody to just disappear. So we'll run down to the down ground floor and come back. In CAC, you know the way they end the prayer? The prayer is usually so, you know, so commotuous. Is that English correct? The commotion is usually so much that the pastor usually has a bell. They are laughing. They've never been to Apostolic Church. CAC. Okay, you know, Nigeria is actually in different regions. The CAC is not today this Eastern region. For go Western region. The commotion of the prayer is really so much that as part of the setup for the pulpit, there's one space for bell.
When people don't pray, to get them to stop, bang, 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 everybody go pause. Is that an evil thing, though? Do you get my point? Just the way we like it. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now, so what I was trying to explain, anyway, let me just go and get back there, is this. Actually, what God is doing is that people agree with him. Do you get my point? And then he gives them prayers to say. And then those prayers are the most potent weapons they have to wield on the earth. Those are the most potent weapons. Because when they speak those words in prayer, do you understand what I'm saying? What they are doing is that they are calling the forces of heaven to be released on their behalf. So that even though they are weak, you discover that indeed they are strong. Are you getting the point? That is, an evil man that decides to assail a praying man is about to die quickly. Do you get the point I'm making? So let's just get that point. That's the most potent weapon that God has given to the Christian. Now, we're analyzing two scriptures. Now, let me get back to those two scriptures. He said that if he will agree, that was the first one, then I brought out the issue of he will pray according to his will. When he said if you agree amongst yourself, two of you shall agree concerning anything that they will ask. Now, note that word agree is the same word actually when he was saying that if you will ask anything according to his will, that is, if you will agree with God in anything that you want to pray about. That thing is very important. And I said that, number one, we refer to this issue, we don't know what we're asking for. Sometimes, people actually don't know what they're asking for. James says something that you don't have because you don't ask. And he said, when you ask, all right, and you don't receive, it's because you asked wrongly. And he explained what he meant by wrong asking. And what did he say it was? He said, because you are asking so as to spend on your lust. Therefore, the will of God is primarily dictated by motive. I don't know whether I get the point. Motive actually is what decides whether you are praying according to his will or you are not praying according to his will. Do you follow the point I'm making? Really, motive, from what James said there, motive, he said you have not because you don't ask. And when you ask, you don't receive. Because you see, James, John, they were all repeating the words, the sermons that Jesus taught them. There's nobody that wrote anything in the New Testament, all right, that was not recording the teachings of Jesus Christ. None. 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 The whole of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you know what those ones are. You know the book of Acts. But from Romans down to Revelations, they were the words of Jesus that these people were writing. Paul wrote the majority of it, but that was because how did he get his own revelation? It was after the resurrection that the Lord appeared to him and taught him the things that he wrote. That's why John will tell you that which was from the beginning. All right? That which we heard with our ears, we saw with our eyes, which our hands handled concerning the word of life. That's what we are now delivering to you. That's how it is. John, James. So I'm going to get something here. So when John wrote and James wrote, they were both instructed by the Lord Jesus and they were saying the same thing. John was saying, like I said, look at things in context. He was telling you simply, anything you will ask according to his will, all right, you will receive. And James put it like this, that if you don't receive, it's because you did not ask according to his will. And what is asking not according to his will, he said it is asking so as to spend on your loss. That is selfishness is how you pray out of the will of God. Simple. Please, I hope you are following the point I'm making. Now, so we're talking about the power of prayer here. How does it come to become very strong? There's one word I've used in previous times. I picked it up from physics, and that's the word resonance. What do I call it? Resonance. For those of you who studied physics, who are still studying physics, you will know the meaning of the word resonance. And for those of you who ran away from physics in secondary school, it has caught up with you again today. Now, those days, what they taught us was What is resonance? Resonance is when the natural frequency of a particular object or something it's matched by the frequency of the force that is acting upon it, right? Something like that. For example, if the natural you know the way it is. When you want to push a car, have you noticed it? You push up a bit, you release it. You all of it. Just two guys, you want to push a car up a maybe a small hill, you want to roll it over something. When you push it once, you guys exert all your energy, you push, the thing doesn't move. So what do? You let it roll. It goes back. Then once it's about to swing forward, you give it a bit of push. It rolls back. You keep on giving a bit of push. The more you do that, the farther the car goes. Finally, you give one shove and it's over. What happened was that each time you push, you are matching the frequency with which the car was rocking by itself. So that with the amount, the amplitude of vibration, all right? The amplitude of oscillation keeps increasing. That's the way it is. And like my teacher in A-level said, that's when they were in the army. I don't know whether I was ever in the army or just making a fool of us. That you're not, soldiers don't march across a bridge. Yeah, you know, soldiers can be marching on the road. When they get to a bridge, as a rule, you must scatter. You have to walk at random across because there's a small chance that your pace of marching may rhyme with the natural frequency of the bridge. Next thing you know, all of you are inside the water. Yeah. Now this is a spiritual application of it. If the natural frequency, is that okay, of your desires match with that of God's purpose in heaven, then great power is released on the earth. Let me put it the other way, simpler, to make it easier. If what you want done on the earth is exactly what God wants done, then the two will unite and there will be a great release of the power of God. And that's exactly why God calls people and trains them first. That's why he has not been giving you everything you have been asking for. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm saying. No, that's the way he works. That's why he hasn't, look, you know what he did with Abraham? Oh, go and read that book, Great Faith Can Be Yours. I explained it there. He worked on the desires of Abraham so that both what Abraham wanted and what he wanted were the same. After that, every word that Abraham will utter, we have power. And that's why God has not been granting everything we have been asking for, because a number of issues. One, those things are not exactly in accordance with his will. And secondly, please listen to this. The fact that you pray for something, God didn't give it to you, doesn't mean God does not answer prayers. Do I need to prove it? No, I don't need to. You know. Taisho Lari committed one of the silliest, I was going to say errors. No, let me revise it. He cracked one of the silliest jokes in Nigeria and took it serious. That doesn't believe in God, because one day he asked God for something and God didn't give it to him. Therefore, God is not there. I said, what kind of joker is this? How many things have my son asked me for and I have refused? Does it mean I don't exist anymore? You know, he would just sit down and people are watching Secrets and Truths on TV. He said, see that man preaching? He does not exist. He is not there. You know how I know? He said, but we are looking at him. He said, wait. Yesterday I asked to follow him to Bible study where he preaches, many people are watching. And he said no. So I decided that he's no longer there. You know, that doesn't make sense. And that's what Taisho Lareen did. Now, God doesn't always grant the things we ask. So one of the reasons is simple. That's what I want to emphasize. Is that he's trying to train us in what to ask for. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes. He's trying to train us so that we get to a particular place where the primary concern, so that when we gather like this, it is not, let us pray that tomorrow there shall be food. I don't know whether you hear what I said. What you know what he said? Let's take it for granted that as long as God is in heaven, there will be food tomorrow. Are you following what I'm trying to explain? He said, let's take it for granted that as long as God is in heaven, there will be food for tomorrow. So when we gather together, let us now find out what exactly he wants done on the earth. And then we ask him concerning that, and we will discover that that thing will be done. Let me say one more thing about agreements, as agreeing with ourselves. Before I say that, let me just say why I'm saying all of these things. You know, I was in my office today, and we're discussing again. And if I was somewhere yesterday visiting, today is what, Tuesday, on Sunday, and somebody was asking me questions, also we're discussing all these things. And one thing that comes up again and again is that there are so many churches in Nigeria. Do you understand what I'm saying? And the people are not, the country is not changing. There are so many people who go to church, we don't see righteousness in that. There are so many people who do this. I told somebody, I said, the truth is that God is not counting the number of buildings or the number of congregations. Do you understand my point? Or the number of people that claim that they go to those places. What is counting, you'll see as we go on, is very different from that. Now, this point I'm making, you will discover that most, I'm sorry to say this, most Christians don't pray righteous prayers as far as the nation is concerned. Now, I don't mean that to insult anybody or to say some people are bad and I am good. This is a matter of fact. Most Christians don't pray righteous prayers as far as the nation is concerned. I was somewhere one day and a big man of God, the head of one big denomination, well, not one of the bigger ones, all right, but there are many branches everywhere, big man. And he came and he was speaking. And he said, they were talking about the matter of the nation, that the entity we call Nigeria really doesn't exist as far as God is concerned. There was an imagination of a colonial master. And he went and he was talking like this on the pulpit. And you see, that kind of person will gather and pray for the country. Listen. Anytime you see something that is wrong, all right, just know that God is displeased. There's a scripture I want us to quickly read. You get what I'm going to make. All right, Isaiah chapter 59. And I can't read everything, but we'll see really later on as we go on these our studies. From chapter 1, from verse 1, it said, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear." The problem, he said, is your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. So let me just switch to my normal translation, please. It said, "For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity." That's verse 3. "Your lips have spoken falsehood," and described all the evil that was going on in the land. Now, it described all this evil. Let me just jump down to verse 7 so we can save time. It said, "Their feet run to evil, and they hasten to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Devastation and destruction are in their highways. They do not know the way of peace, and there is no justice in their tracks. They have made their paths crooked. Whoever treads on them does not know peace." Now this is a summary, verse 9. "Therefore justice is far from us, and righteousness does not overtake us." Now just imagine our society in Nigeria of today, and try and see whether these things I'm describing, all right, are occurring. He said, "We grow for light, but behold, what do we find? Darkness." It's almost literal when it comes to Nepal and Nigeria. "For brightness, but we walk in gloom." He said, "We grope along the world like blind men. We grope like those who have no eyes. We stumble at midday as if in the night, in the twilight. Amongst those who are vigorous, we are like dead men." Now, please, like I said, we'll read this later. I just want to get down somewhere. He said, "For our transgression are multiplied before thee." Please, I just want to jump down. Let's jump to verse 14. We'll still read it another time. "And justice is turned back." This is a consequence of everything that has been happening. "And righteousness stands far away. For truth has stumbled in the street, and uprightness cannot enter." Yes, truth is lacking. "And he who turns aside from evil makes himself a prey." That is, anybody who refuses to do what is going on in the land is the one that people feed upon. Do you get the point I'm making here? All right. He said, now the way I'm going actually is the next line. He said, "Now the Lord saw, and it was displeasing in his sight that there was no justice. And he saw that there was no man, and was astonished that there was no one to intercede. Then his own right arm brought salvation to him, and his righteousness upheld him." Now please, let's stop there. What I want to just bring out from that is that word, "Now the Lord saw, and it was displeasing in his sight." And it was displeasing that there was no justice. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? It was displeasing in God's sight that there was no justice. I'm bringing out something. Anytime something is wrong, do you get my point? God is displeased. And what starts astonishing him is that there's nobody to make any amends. There's a reason why I'm saying this. Because I've heard all kinds of nonsense. We're talking about people gathering to pray. I've heard people say, in fact, that the lady who told me this, I was very angry. I was just sharing with her the way I'm discussing with you now. And we're talking about the reason why Christians should pray. This was when Nigeria was going through a lot of crisis, shortly after June 12th and all of that. So I said, that's why we should pray as a nation and the church should rise up and pray. You know what this young woman told me? She's been going to a church, maybe, where they were told, no, I don't think so. Because I heard our pastor talk another time, and that was not what he said. Anyway, what she said was that, Pastor Banky, I think all these things are a sign of the end time. Are you hearing what I'm saying? All these things are what? A sign of the end time. I looked at her and said, apparently, This is your own Jesus Christ. He's only going to come back in Nigeria. He will not come back in developed countries. I said, this is your Jesus Christ will come back in Nigeria. He won't come back in South Korea. Who at that time, they were making serious advancements in their economy. Things were looking up. I said, this is your Jesus Christ. Apparently, he has chosen to come back only into this corner of Africa. That's why people are having turmoil. I'm talking about unity. Are you getting what I mean by agreement? Why we would, it's not that I will go to church. There are churches that they have major prayer testimonies. Praise God. I finally got my visa. It's the major testimony. You are going to sow a seed towards the issuing of your visa. How many of you have played green card? Before you submit it, bring it here. You put an offering with it and swear, God, when I get to America. It sounds funny. People do these kind of things. You can gather all you want. You're not praying for the country. You see what I'm not explaining? Talking about agreement. The number one thing, all right? I said before that the number one weapon God gave us is what? Prayer. Listen to me. There is no problem that you can identify that God will not solve if you will, in agreement, pray and pray persistently. There's some, we're not going to spend all the time today, all right, talking. I just want to introduce this whole thing to us, all right? We're going to pray a bit, and I want us to always close on time. So people will be eager to come back next time. For information, if you're pastor of a church, no matter how good your church is, if you don't close on time, it's not good. Right, if you want people to come regularly, close on time, all right? So that's why I try my best to always close on time, all right? I know if I continue, people will say, ah, pastor, ride on. There are those who don't want to go home anyway. All right, so I want us to still pray a bit and then still close on time. So I'll quickly round up what I'm trying to explain. All right, so what I'm explaining to all of this is, I want to summarize that now, is that issue of agreement. Number one, please, let's understand something about the potency of prayer. We are going to locate the right purpose. That's what the will of God is. Some people say, okay, let us pray. God shows us his will. That is good under certain circumstances. Under most circumstances, it is clear. I get my point? Once it is not selfish and it's a good thing, that's the will of God. That's praying in accordance with his will. I'll explain this issue about when Jesus said, when two officials agree. The problem we have is that I guess we are too many praying. Sometimes we are so many that there's no point. We'll be in discordance. You know what I'm trying to say? Especially when you give a prayer point and everybody scatters. You know what I'm trying to say? That, okay, now we are going to pray that Nigeria will be good. Somebody will say, God, you know what you're going to do? You are going to cut this knot from Nigeria so that they won't trouble us again. Somebody is praying on the other side. Say, you know what I'm going to do? In Niger Delta, we must have resource control. Resource control. As far as it's concerned, that is goodness in Nigeria. And somebody in Enugu will say, God, marginalization has gone on for too long. It is time the evil man produce the president. After a while, God say, my God, what's going on here? Look, listen, I'm going to tell you that that's the reason why the Church of God has had no, you know what I mean, impact. Everybody is, you know the way we scatter physically when we are praying? That's how our hearts actually scatter. So right now, we're going to pray for the nation. Everybody say, hey God, the NEPA MD, kill him. Kill him. Kill him. And he doesn't know that the guy is actually his cousin, that, you know what I'm saying? And that is not the man's fault. Ah, God, you see this current IG? Hey, wanting to make him an example of what? That's why, listen, we'll pray and pray, keep up awake all night. But God is not shifting in his throne. Because as far as it's concerned, we are not saying anything. That is why, when we are praying for the nation, nobody is scattering. You know what I said? Nobody is scattering. When I will give prayer point, everybody will disappear. No! You will stay right there. And you will open your ears. The Bible said, draw near to listen. Rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools. Are you getting what I'm saying? Is amen. Because inside the prayers will be teaching instruction on how to pray. Please, I hope you've gotten my point. Very important. That's why today I'm talking about the principle of agreement. Number one, agreeing with one another. Especially, you see, the issue of agreeing together is crucial. That's agreeing with one another before we even talk about, well, let me be like this. Agreeing with God and agreeing with one another as we agree with God is crucial when we are praying about things that concern all of us. For example, security in our state. Do you get my point? Enugu is our state. You know, these are our roads. We will pray they will never spoil. Ah, you think I'm joking? I'm serious about it. That was not supposed to be. That's supposed to be an amen. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
We will pray that our governors will only get better in this state. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
You see, we will pray a prayer that will dissolve. Listen to this. The current power policy in Nigeria is not good. We will pray a prayer that will dissolve it and install the good one. Because you will discover, we will continue to pray. States that have the capacity will begin to build their own power plants. And listen to me, government can say what they want. If here, listen to what I want to say. If here we give a date, all right, and pray towards that date, you will see uninterrupted power supply in Nigeria. Do you know why our power has been interrupted? Because our prayer has been interrupted. There's nothing good on this earth that comes by chance. People like you and I will decide. That's what they call the principle of remnants. What's remnants? Let me just say that in 2 minutes, 1 minute, and I leave here. Remnants just means that there may be 1 million people talking, and God is listening to only 20. Do you hear what I said? So that Jesus might be born in a particular place. One person was supposed to be born. The whole nation had to move up and down. Did you know that? That Jesus might be born in Bethlehem. To move Jesus to Bethlehem, a decree was issued. To move Joseph and his family, Jacob and his family to Egypt, the whole land went into famine. Are you getting my point? I like the way my pastor in Lagos, then Pastor Podju, described the word prophet. He said, He suffered no man to do them harm, saying, touch not my anointed, and do my prophet, what? No harm. We thought that it meant that any man who's prophesying, don't do him any harm. No. He said the prophets of God are the people that God shaped the events of the earth around. When he says, saying, touch them not my anointed, we're talking about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and his sons. What am I saying? Don't think that everybody that go to church on Sunday, half of whom don't believe in God, will suddenly one day agree. No. I'm saying that out of 1 million gathered, God can say, I only hear like 300 voices here. And if those 300 voices we agree, then indeed there will be a manifestation of my power. Do you understand that point? I hope you understand that point. That's the principle of remnants. All right. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. I hope you've learned something today. All right, for just a few minutes, can we just rise to our feet? Let us pray. What we're just going to do. All right, can we just bow down our heads? And first thing I want us to do is to give God the Lord thanks. I want us to acknowledge Him for His goodness. Say, Father, we thank You because You are so good. For the privilege of knowing You, for the privilege of being able to draw near to You, we say thank You. I've heard it said, men like Buddha suffered and suffered because they wanted enlightenment. We've heard men who will pray 5 times a day, putting their heads on the floor because they want God to be happy with them. I don't have to go through all of that. All I need is faith in Christ Jesus. People have done all kinds of things, disciplining their bodies, their flesh. All you need to do, brethren, is just watch TV during the Easter period in the Philippines. You see men pushing pins through their body, being dragged by their hair, being dragged on the floor because they want to suffer with Christ. They say, Lord, I thank You. I don't have to do that. All I need is to be obedient to You. All I need is my faith in Christ Jesus. And because You have caused my heart to believe, I say thank You. In the name of Jesus, we acknowledge for the privilege that we have in this season to walk with You, to walk with You, and to work with You. That is, agreeing with You and declaring Your purpose on the earth. I thank You, Lord, for that privilege. Let's just thank Him. Say, Lord, we worship You. You are so good. Because of the righteousness that's in Christ Jesus, we thank You. Because my sins have been washed away. Because no sinful man can approach unto Your throne. I thank You because in Jesus Christ I have been redeemed. The blood of Jesus has washed away all my sins. I thank You because the blood of Jesus has made me able to draw near to You. I thank You because I am clean and pure in Your presence. I thank You because my words are not words of iniquity in Your presence. And my prayers are not abominations before You. But Jesus has reconciled me because of my faith in Him and because of His sacrifice on the cross. Thank You for the blood of Jesus. It is well with my soul. I have a relationship with You. It is well with me. Not only are my needs supplied, I am able to make intercessions and petitions for other people's needs. I am highly esteemed in the presence of God.
yes, the faith I have in Christ Jesus has made me an important person. Let's just give the Lord thanks. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget any of his benefits. I'll just give you a few minutes. Just use your own words. Just say, Father, I thank you. This is what you have done for me. Pastor Bank doesn't know about that. This is my own personal thing. You brought me out from here, and this is where I am today. I used to be like this. I'm not like that anymore. Like Paul said, I boast in what the cross of Christ has done in me. Let's just give him thanks. Say, Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' name. Please, I want to read one portion of the scriptures out to us. It's a prayer that those days one will read Kenneth Hagin. And very good. I'm going to leave this for you as a prayer point. That's one thing. Every week we'll have a prayer point. And I'll leave you to pray that the whole week. Is that okay? Until we come back. Every day. I mean, just a few minutes every day. Added to what you will pray normally. But because we are beginning on a journey, we are starting a project, all right, of learning and then effectively praying. There's something Kenneth Hagin used to teach us those days when we read his materials, and it was such a blessing. And I'm going to read from the book of Ephesians chapter 1. He said this was a prayer he prayed, and it helped him tremendously. God opened his eyes so that he could understand. He said, the Bible says that draw near to listen. He said, watch your steps when you approach the temple of God. He said, draw near to listen, rather than offering the sacrifice of fools. That's Ecclesiastes chapter 5, all right? The book of Ecclesiastes chapter 5. That's what he said. Now, so it's important that we come to grab understanding. It's important that we come to know first before we speak. Do you get what I'm trying to explain? It's not just to gather to church, everybody talk, pray, and say we have prayed. No. If it's important, we get to have understanding. So Kenneth Hagin taught us then, and I use it a lot, to pray that God will give first, all right? That's what we're discussing now. Each one of us understanding. So I'll read from the book of Ephesians chapter... Open your Bibles, everybody. If you have your Bible, just quickly just open to Ephesians chapter 1. This was a prayer Paul used to pray for the Ephesians. And Kenneth Hagin said that he prayed it for himself. And he prayed it for other people also. And he felt the effect in his own life. That was the first one he talked about. So tremendously that he wondered. He learned more in a few months than he had learned in all the many previous years of ministry. And as young believers also, we prayed that prayer continually, and I still pray it occasionally for myself. Now, this is from verse, if you read from verse 15, that's where the context. Paul said that, for this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus which exists amongst you, and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you, while making mention of you in my prayers. What's the prayer? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. He said, I pray that the eyes of your heart or the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. Let's just stop it there. I would like to read that first from Now, what you are going to do, all right, while you pray this prayer for yourself, is simple. Is how Kenneth Hagin taught us then in his materials, and I think we should do the same thing. He said, you pray for yourself, you pray like this, it's simple to work out. He said, Lord, I am praying, all right, that you will give, I'm asking you, God of my Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that you will give to me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. I pray that the eyes of my understanding may be enlightened, so that I may know the hope of your calling, and what are the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints. And what is the surpassing greatness of your power towards us who believe? I think it's simple. It's very simple. So let's just pray that prayer. You can read it out in your Bible. You don't have to cram it. I'll just explain what it's just saying simply is that you may have understanding, that you may know how the word of God works, that you may know what God has done for you and the power available to you as a believer. So you'll not be running around in darkness like many people run around from pillar to post, but that God will give you understanding, that you might know him, understand his word, and know the proper words to use in prayer and what to do in the times of trouble. Use different words like that, okay? But pray prayers that you can understand. You can read simply from that portion of the scripture to be good. So let us pray. Say, Father, we pray. I pray, Father God, that you, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto everyone present here, Father God, tonight, a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of you. I pray that the eyes of our understanding may be enlightened so that we may know what is the hope of your calling and what are the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints. I pray, Lord, that we will understand what is the surpassing greatness of your power that works toward us who believe. And just, Father, we thank you. We give you thanks because you have heard us. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm leaving that to you as a prayer point. Whichever way you like to do it, read it out every day. Before you begin to study, before you listen to a message, read it. You want to tune maybe to the Wheel of Success. Before it starts, read it out. Do you get my point? You buy a book, you want to start reading it. Before you open the first chapter, read it. You understand this prayer. And you can switch from there into thanksgiving. Father, I thank you because you have heard me. I thank you because I have understanding. I thank you because insight has been given to me. I thank you because I am not confused. I thank you because I have the ability to understand your word. Do you understand that? In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, let's just give the Lord thanks for today. Let's close now. Like I said, we shouldn't stay. Just say, Father, we thank you for today. It's been a great day. It's the beginning of great things. So we thank you in the name of Jesus. We thank you because great things have begun today. We thank you because I will witness the demonstration of your power in my life, in the lives of my friends, in the life of my brethren, in the lives of those that I love, and in the life of my nation. In this nation, I will see your goodness. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Father, we give you thanks because you are so good. I declare upon everyone present here today, Lord, that your mercy, your favor will follow them the rest of this week in the name of Jesus Christ. That insight and understanding you will use to lead them in righteousness this week in the name of Jesus Christ. That their faith, Father God, will rest totally upon you. It will rest on you alone in the name of Jesus. Everybody, can you just put down your right hand? Just declare. I want us to just declare. Say, in the name of Jesus, safety is my portion. In the name of Jesus, I will not lack. Say, in the name of Jesus, all the provisions I need in life are supplied. I'm not like the Gentiles worried about tomorrow. But I know that my Lord has tomorrow in his hands. He supplies my need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. I am not confused. I'm a blessed man. I have direction. I know where I'm going. The Holy Spirit is leading me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. I declare safety upon my way. Everywhere I step, devil moves back. As I advance, evil moves back. I am not afraid of the devil. I'm above and I'm not beneath. Say, he that is from above is above all. I have been born from above. Because of my faith in Jesus, I am above all. I'm above all the works of the enemy. I'm above sickness. I'm above failure. I'm above confusion. I am above premature death. I am above sin. I am more powerful than the temptations of the devil. My heart is totally yielded to Christ. I love the Lord. I love the Lord. Therefore, I am above temptation. Therefore, I am above sin. Because I have set my love upon him, therefore he will deliver me. He will deliver me from all troubles. From the arrows that fly by day, I am delivered. I will not die before my time. I will not die before my time. In the name of Jesus Christ, I cancel every negative report of the doctor. I am the one that will spoil his statistics. You understand what that means? That is where he said I would have died, I will live and live far beyond anybody's expectation. Say it concerning yourself. Where I'm supposed to die, I will live far beyond their expectations. Because the spirit that raised Jesus Christ is dwelling in me. Because the spirit that raised Jesus Christ is quickening my mortal body. Father, I thank you for all of this. In Jesus' name. Now listen, one more thing. Declare, say, I am a minister of the gospel. I bring forth good news.
I am a minister of good news.
I am a minister of good news.
I spread the life of Christ everywhere I go.
I spread the life of Christ everywhere.
In my family, I prophesy peace.
In my family,
listen, say that again. As I go home, I declare peace upon that home.
I declare peace upon
my father.
I declare peace upon
my mother.
I declare peace upon
my brothers and sisters.
I declare peace upon
my children, for those who have children.
Okay, you don't have yet.
I declare peace upon
my children yet unborn.
Poverty
is gone.
Lack is gone.
I am an overcomer
in Christ Jesus.
Just wave your hands
and say, Father, I thank you.
Surely
God's goodness and his
mercy shall follow you
all the days of your
life, and you
will dwell in the courts
of God forever and ever.
Amen.
Cheer up, brethren.